You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Code of conduct.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. This is the Code of Conduct with the King podcast. I am your host, Jay Spence the King, and I am back, and I'm very excited because I have a very, very special guest. I have Miss Dana O'Gorman joining me. She is a senior NFL writer, and she has some good stuff. She covers the Seattle Seahawks and the Kansas City Chiefs. Ugh. No, but Miss Dana's really, really good. I'm going to bring her in here pretty shortly. But, hey, I'm excited, man. I'm excited. We had a bunch of announcements last week. Joe and I are still going with the Hump Day Hotline. We got that coming to you Wednesday. My man Bruce Nolan and Nate Geary are doing the Food for Thought. I believe that's what they call it. I don't want to call it the wrong name here. But they're doing Food for Thought. And that is Aaron live on YouTube. Fridays. Then Joe is gonna do with, you know what, I'm not good at this. I'm gonna let Bruce make all the announcements, but I know Joe and John Fina have something special coming up, and I believe that's gonna be Monday nights. I believe I'll let Bruce make the announcements, but I can tell you that the Chop Up is back, and the Chop Up is gonna be dope. It's gonna be me. It's gonna be my man Sterling from Cover One. It's gonna be my homegirl Kristen Kimmick, the president of the Bills Mafia Babes organization. And it's going to be my homegirl, Angelina White. She's going to come through and represent. I don't know if she really represents the donut pod or donut bag pod or what. But look, she's Bills Mafia. So we're going to have a good time. I also have some special guests lined up for that show as well. So look, y'all going to have to come and kick it with us when we do this thing. It's going to be off the hook. But I do want to start the show off by just addressing a little bit the craziness. Not nothing major. It's all fun talk today. But I'm noticing how everybody is overreacting to the news about the Buffalo Bills possibly looking to relocate to Austin, Texas, because there was a report that came out that said, you know, the Bills are, you know, trying to strong arm the state. It is literally step one in negotiations. So please, Bills fans, let's not think that the Pegulas are really trying to hold the fan base hostage here. Let's not think. So what this is one side saying, hey, we want you to pay for everything. And then the other side is going to come back and say, hey, we want you to pay for everything. And then it's going to be like, all right, well, let's meet somewhere in the middle, somewhere in the middle. So I don't think there's any real threat about the Buffalo Bills going anyplace. I think that the Buffalo Bills are safe. This is a time for us to rejoice and enjoy it. Please, please, please do not. Let's not go into this season with that type of dark cloud over our heads thinking about it, okay? It's time to celebrate. The Buffalo Bills are Super Bowl contenders heading into the season across the league. They are respected and viewed as a team that is probably going to make it back to the AFC Championship and can very, very, you know, they have a serious chance to compete for the Super Bowl. So let's not overreact. Let's not beat the ownership up until, like, things actually start to happen that make us beat the ownership up. Let's just be a little patient with them because from my experience, I know I'm not a hockey fan, so Sabre fans, forgive me. But from my experience so far, Terry and Kim Pegula have done everything right for my franchise. My favorite team in the world, the Buffalo Bills, have done a complete 180 since they have taken ownership of the team. They have, the value has gone up. They've gotten great players. I know they're not over the drafting and the scouting, but whether you call it luck, whether you call it good business, they brought in Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean. They are doing things for me that make me believe that they have the team's best interests at heart. And not only the team's best interest, but the communities, because they built up downtown. They did a lot of things downtown. I just don't believe that they are the type of people. Well, they're business people. I get that. But what I'm saying is they have heavily invested into the community of Buffalo. So I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. This is not me kissing butt. This is not me trying to play the political game here. What I'm saying is let's just take a moment and breathe. Bills Mafia, we got this. We finally have, it's back to that feeling of the 90s when we were going to Super Bowls and championships and, you know, we had divisional titles. Like, that, it's back to that time. Let's celebrate that time. Let's not focus on all the other craziness. So yeah, I just kind of wanted to talk about that for a quick second. Then I also really, really quickly this morning, or it may have been late last night, but I saw it this morning. One of the victims from the Deshaun Watson case decided to do an interview, and she spoke out on, I'm not sure if the publication was a podcast or if it was, I'm not sure exactly what the platform was, but I caught a chance or a small piece of the interview. And, you know, what I will say is it's absolutely an awful thing if Deshaun Watson plays football this season in the NFL or any season going forward. There absolutely needs to be some type of discipline down from the NFL. There needs to be some type of urgency to the sorry, I'm kind of cracking up thinking about the story. It's just not a good situation. If you haven't gotten a chance to go and check it out or look it up, you know, it's very graphic. It's very graphic. So please obviously be advised before you go and listen to it or go and pull up the video. But what I'm saying is, look, there are multiple women. This isn't just one woman who's coming out and making these allegations. And I understand that some people are fans. And I understand that in the past, there have been times when, you know, stories haven't been true and it's a money grab. And I understand all of those things as a fan, as a football fan, and as a fan of Deshaun Watson as a football player. Those thoughts went through my head initially when all these reports started to come to surface. Like, is it, Deshaun never gave people any problems at Clemson. He seems like a stand-up guy. I have said that. However, when you start to understand or you start to see things for what they are, you have to be honest about them. And I'll tell you what, there needs to be some sort of discipline. There needs to be some sort of, you know, something has to happen. Something has to happen. This is not a cool thing. And the fact that a lot of times these situations kind of go away, we can't allow it. We can't allow it this time. So moving on, I'm going to lighten the mood up a little bit. Like I said, I have a very, very special guest. I have the editor and senior NFL writer for Our Turf Football. She covers the NFC West, but more specifically, she has a real special kind of love for the Seattle Seahawks. And I wanted to have a good conversation with her about the NFC West, about the Seattle Seahawks, about their quarterback. And so I'm going to bring her in. I have Ms. Dana O'Gorman joining me today. How is it going today or tonight, Dana?
It's going great. Thank you so much for having me on. You know, I told you right before the show started, I have a soft spot for the Buffalo Bills. So when you invited me, I got real excited. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Like I said, the Bills fans will love. So everybody in here will love you for that. Like, she's a Seattle Seahawks fan and she loves the Bills. Yep. We love her. So just consider yourself part of the family now, because that we love everybody unless, you know, when people give us a reason not to. PFF. When people give us a reason not to, we no, actually, I have love for everybody over at PFF. But your Seattle Seahawks. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. There's every year there's excitement surrounding the team because you guys have one of the best quarterbacks in the league. So this year, what do you think? What's the outlook heading into the season? You know, just what do you think, record wise or division wise? What is the goal this year? Obviously, it's a Super Bowl. What do you think is a realistic expectation for the year?
You know, I want to start out that Seahawks conversation by saying this first. I want to thank Aaron Rodgers. I want to thank Aaron Rodgers for being the diva that he is. And so that he could take all that media spotlight that was on Russell Wilson and turn it right onto himself. I appreciate you, Aaron. I appreciate you for that. Yeah, it was a rough offseason for Seahawks fans just because the Seahawks quarterback decided to be uncharacteristic and voice some disapproval and some irritation with the team. And that was it's new to us. You know, Russell Wilson is known for being, you know, a rah-rah cheerleader guy. That's not who he is. So we were surprised by that. So that was a little tough. But then when that died down and you saw kind of how this team was building and what they were looking at, and that they weren't going crazy in free agency. That they were, with their three whole draft picks that they had, it chose them pretty well because there wasn't many for them to choose. And so, you know, people started getting excited. And then the biggest thing was the change in offensive coordinator. When they brought in Shane Waldron from the Sean McVay coaching tree, they took him away from the LA Rams. that's when the real excitement built for Seattle fans, because they could see that the team heard Russ, they heard what he had to say, and they decided to try and give him what he was looking for. In the beginning of 2020, those first five games were amazing. Russell was MVP, you know, at top of the league. He was just killing everybody. But the Seahawks had a historically bad defense for those games. There was no equilibrium within the team. And then, of course, it flipped. And what we discovered and what people were talking about was that the offense was being figured out by defenses and there was no adjustments being made. And so that is what everyone was so upset about in 2020. Turn to 2021, all new offense, completely different scheme. Pete will still like to run the ball, because that's what Pete Carroll does. But at the same time, there seems to be a new renewed excitement around the offense, and that historically bad start to the defense seems to be gone.
Yeah, well, so first, your point about Russell Wilson's concern as far as the offensive line. The thing is, you know, a lot of people, I know you mentioned Aaron Rodgers as the diva. A lot of people actually started to have rumblings and say, hey, we're not used to Russ speaking up like this.
Right.
I don't view Russ. And last week, I had Joe Miller on my show as well. And I said, I don't see Aaron Rodgers as a diva either. The thing about Aaron, I think, you know, I could see why people would have that outlook. The way I see Aaron is like, you know, he's been in this abusive relationship for
that's fair
plus a decade, you know, and they haven't, you know, so no first round draft picks on a receiver or running back. They have, you know, so look, if your husband or your boyfriend of 15 years, he doesn't take you on date night anymore. He never tells you that you're beautiful anymore, you know, and fellas, you know, she never actually tells you you're handsome, even though you got a little pouch now, but hey, you still like to feel like the guy. Aaron Rodgers wanted to still feel like the guy. They weren't taking, you know, his opinion into consideration when he liked specific players. Bills fans are very familiar with Jake Kumerow's situation, you know, Randall Cobb and whoever else that he mentioned. So I just look at it as, you know, Aaron was in this abusive relationship and he's just like, you know, enough, enough. But as far as Russ, I'm very happy that they addressed those things, because we're going to talk about Russ a little bit later on. But one of the things I do want to touch on right now is that the team was on fire for the first 6-7 weeks of the season. And they look like they improved this offseason. I'm actually like very, very impressed. And if you can talk a little bit about just, so you mentioned the new scheme, how it's going to, can you just kind of go for a little bit about how the team is going to look different next year?
Well, I don't know that we really know yet. That is the one thing about Seattle, is they keep all that stuff very close to the vest. But from what we've been hearing, the word fast comes up a lot. It's going to be very fast. It's going to be very fast. And then it was brought up that at the line of scrimmage, everything looks exactly the same. Run play, pass play, everything's starting to look the same, which is something that Seattle was not very, it was so obvious when they were going to run or when they were going to pass that there wasn't any variation there, which was something that Pete Carroll in his press conferences last year, especially in the second half of the year, was like, we need to change it up. We need to do something different, and we need to change this up. And it never happened. And so I think that is what we've been hearing the most of. Do I think that they'll still be, you know, a run heavy team? I guess you have to define what heavy is at that point. I do think that they will still have a large amount of run game, but I think it's still going to look a little different. It's not going to be the traditional Marshawn Lynch in the back, the exact same setup that they've had forever and ever. I think that now they're going to be, it's going to be a little different, and they're going to rely on Russ. They're like, okay, you complained, we heard you. Now what are you going to do? And I think that's the best thing for him. You know, one thing about Russell Wilson is he'll take a challenge. You give it to him, he'll take it and run. And so I think that's what needs to be watched most, especially in the first few games, which is funny. Traditionally, Seattle starts out very slow at the beginning of each year. They were very traditionally, they would have, you know, a 2-3 star, you know, whatever it may be. And then last year it was so explosive. That's what we're like, if they could do that, but continue it through the whole season, then this team is going to be crazy.
You know what? And DK Metcalf, I'm gonna just tell you, that guy is a guy. Like I wanted him. So the year that he was drafted, I wanted the Buffalo Bills to take him. We took Cody Ford in the second round that year, and I don't want to say the disappointment, because I was happy that we invested in the line for Josh Allen. But as a fan, like as a fan of football, I'm like, we need that dude, DK Metcalf. Like that, like we need him. Mm-hmm. And I remember everybody around the league, like, yeah, but he can't run routes and he can't, like, all he can do is run a straight line. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, you put him with somebody like Josh Allen with the arm that he has, mm-hmm. he would have looked like Diggs. Or, you know, like, mm-hmm. not, I don't want to say 100% like with the footwork and the route running, but I'm saying,
right.
That's the perfect combination for an arm like Josh Allen, a guy tall, fast, strong, just send him out there. Mm-hmm. Now, he has a variation of that up there in Seattle with Russ. Now, Russ, obviously, the arm strength comparison isn't the same as Josh Allen, but he's very much a complete quarterback. Like he's top five, you know, whoever you talk to, he's always going to be in that conversation. Mm-hmm. But can you talk a little bit about DK Metcalf? I just love DK Metcalf. Like, I mean, that dude, you know, you talk about man crush, like DK Metcalf is that dude.
You know, I don't blame you. I totally get that, to be honest with you. You know, I think the best thing that happened for DK Metcalf was that he wasn't picked in the first round, because man, did that put a chip on his shoulder. And he just then wanted to prove everyone wrong, all those teams that had passed over him. And that is still to this day, one of my favorite draft videos is when he's on the phone and he's like, would you wait so long? I mean, it's like, that was good. That's what they needed to see. The interesting thing is that he and Tyler Lockett are so different in what they do and how they play and the way they look. And they each add their own versatility. But I don't really think that we truly saw how important DK Metcalf was to this team until he chased down Buda Baker in that game against Arizona last year. When you realize that it was just, not only is he good and tall and tough, and you need that, especially, you know, in the end zone for someone to go up after that ball, but you need someone who has that football IQ. He did not have to chase him down, and he did. And I think that that was everyone. I mean, we all loved him. He was a great kid. He caught those, you know, fantastic football, but it was like, oh, this could be a next level player. That made a huge difference for a lot of people. There's a lot of people in the fan base that in the media that really think that Seattle should have added another wide receiver at this point, and not, that a free agent wide receiver. They really thought that the depth there needed just a little bit more. But they seem, well, they were excited about their first round draft, or their, I should say, second round draft pick, their first draft pick. And now he's injured, which is just classic Seattle. But Eskridge, but he, but I think there were a lot of people who thought, we just need one more. I don't know that that's the case when we bring in Everett on tight end and a few other of those players. I think that they'll be a really complete offense.
I'm actually excited to see Disley. You know, I know. Mm-hmm. I know he didn't have like the biggest role, but I was kind of impressed with some of the things that we saw, and you know, so we'll see there as far as a tight end. But also, I guess I'm shocked because when I look at the Seattle Seahawks, to me the problem was protecting your quarterback. It wasn't the weapons. It wasn't. I think your running game is legit. I think your receivers are legit. I think your defense is going to make a, I don't know if they'll be Legion of Boomish, but they're coming back. I think that they're improving, I should say. So, you know, I didn't think that. I just thought they had to protect Russ, you know.
I really think that it's a depth issue. See, one thing with Seattle and their fans is it's like, it's always next man up, right? Like it's always compete, always next man up. So they love the thought of that depth there. But I agree with you. That line was really more of an issue. And they did a good job with the line. And, you know, Dwayne Brown will play, you know, even though he wants more money. We have a pretty solid line at this point. The question, only question mark truly there is in center, and nothing against Ethan Posick. He just is not that superstar center. If they could manage to bring someone in, which I don't think they will at this point, maybe next season, but if they could bring someone in who was that Max Unger type center, then I think that that line would be indestructible. It would be fantastic. But I do think with the new offense that hopefully some of that importance will be taken away because the game will be out a little faster. We'll see Russ getting the ball out a little quicker and that sort of thing so that they can really work on tempo at that point instead of running around for 5 seconds in the backfield.
and I mean, you know, well, I agree. And that's why, like I said, when you said that, you know, there are people in the media in Seattle who's like, we should have added another. And it's like, really? Like, I think you guys are great. But, okay, so just – I'm in Phoenix now. So obviously this is a Bills based podcast because that's the family. That's the squad. But I relocated to Phoenix and look, there's a buzz out here about these Arizona Cardinals. You know, they got J.J. Watt. They brought James Conner. And I'll tell you what, I don't think James Conner got better by any means. But, you know, he slimmed down a little bit. He looks quick. He looks healthy, which for him is a big, you know, it's a big deal. Health is the reason why he hasn't really been who he was early on. A.J. Green, I'm just going to say, I don't think he's going to come and be, you know, he's not DeAndre Hopkins. He's not A.J. Green from 5-6 years ago. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to just tell you, this weekend, he looked really darn good. Mm-hmm. What is your outlook on the division? How do you feel mm-hmm. about Arizona Cardinals? And you know, because we're going to get back to the Seattle Seahawks, and I want to make some comparisons later on to mm-hmm. The Buffalo Bills quarterback and you know, Russell Wilson. So we'll get there. But as far as your division, kind of let's go there.
Sure. So I think that I have said this for the last couple of years. I will say it. I will stand by it no matter how much I get attacked for it on Twitter. The NFC West is the best division in football. Without question, the most competitive it is. And yes, the Ravens and Steelers fans come after me every time I say that, but I am just telling you that if you go head to head, these four teams, they make each other's schedules so much harder. And to me, that is shows, you know, there's not a single easy game in the NFC West. When you look at these teams, I think that they all have their strengths. I think they all have their liabilities without question. There is a lot of buzz around Arizona, and I'm a little confused why. I'm not trying to be disrespectful in any way, shape, mm-hmm. or form. Every year you can tell they are trying to make this team better. And I think that Kyler Murray is a good quarterback. I'm not sold on their head coach. I don't know about Cliff Kingsbury. And I think if they can't figure it out this year, I would not be surprised if he did not have a job next year, because they keep doing what needs to be done. They keep adding the right people. It just can't seem to come together. J.J. Watt, of course, is already on the pup list. God love J.J. Watt. I wish he could stay on the field. And hopefully he'll get this out of his system early and be able to play. I don't know. I felt so bad
for him. I'm like, already, dude. Like, come on.
I know. It's like, we can't even get a game. It was one practice. But I like the way this team is going. I know there was some discontent. I think Chandler Jones at one point had asked for a trade. I think will be there. I'm not sure. But I do think that there's still a lot of question marks that surround Arizona. There's still a lot of holes. They have to figure that defense out without question. I agree with you on A.J. Green. I think that he's going to be helpful. He's going to be a good player. He's not going to come in and storm the field. I just don't really see that. Mm-hmm. DeAndre Hopkins will still be the number one target there. But that was part of their problem last year, wasn't it? Was the fact that they had one target. And I love Larry Fitzgerald, and he did his best to kind of pull that double team off. But we just always knew where Kyler was going, right? So it made it harder for them. I think that they need to revamp their scheme a little bit. They need to get some different looks, because I feel like Kyler Murray is not progressing the way he should. And once again, that goes back to coaching, in my opinion. The Rams are the Rams are the Rams. I don't really know that Matt Stafford will be the king of the kingdom. When they made that trade with Jared Goff and Matt Stafford, I thought, oh, good. Jared Goff was the thorn in the side of the Rams for a long time, and mm-hmm. they paid him a ridiculous amount of money for no reason. So I like that they have moved on from him. But the hype around Stafford is surprising to me. And I like Matt Stafford. He's got a great arm. He's a good quarterback. But what has he done? You know what I mean? Like, I'm waiting to see. Dana. And it could be, I know, Dana. But it could be. It could be he had to get out of Detroit. That's all it takes for some coach. You know what I mean? Yep. That's all it takes for some quarterbacks. So we'll see. I do think it's interesting, though. I think that gives the Rams a little bit of an excuse. So if something goes wrong, he gets hurt, they don't play as well, God forbid they come in second in the division, whatever it may be, they'll have a scapegoat. And I don't really think that would be fair to Matt Stafford. But with Aaron Donald on your team, Jalen Ramsey on your team, you always are in the mix for a Super Bowl, in my opinion. But I'm a defense lover, so that's why I think that.
I'm with you. I got yelled at all summer. I got yelled at because we did this exercise. It was a local, like a Bills member thing, where we basically did like this team building exercise. And for me, I didn't have a continual let me tell you what the exercise was. So it was basically pick 10 players that either their continued play at the rate that they are or growing further would have more of an impact on the success of the Buffalo Bills. I didn't have Josh Allen as number one on that list. The reason I did not have Josh Allen number one on that list is because I truly believe that, yes, it is phenomenal to have one of the top three quarterbacks in the league or a top five quarterback in the league. But multiple times I've seen teams have the best quarterback in the league. And if they didn't have a defense that could stop the other team from scoring, it didn't matter. Aaron Rodgers, to me, he's my personal GOAT. Like, I think he's the best I've ever seen with my eyes. He has one Super Bowl in Green Bay.
Right.
You know, you look at, I always use these as an example because to me, it's like, there's no reason to argue anymore after this, because, you know, you look at Peyton Manning and come on, Peyton Manning won in Indianapolis, you know, then won in Denver. But in the year that he had it, it was when he had a complete team and it wasn't just Peyton and Marvin Harrison putting up points. So the thing is, I think Josh is a very key and instrumental part of the success of the team. But to me, if our defense, if Tremaine Edmonds doesn't become the middle linebacker that I need him to be, like, I don't think the defense improves enough that it's going to matter. We got to get over the hump. And Josh Allen is Josh Allen. He's going to be a beast. If he gives us the same Josh Allen from last year, it is not a problem. Like, if, because think about it, Aaron Rodgers had a year that hasn't happened too often in history. Like, I think a lot of things never happen in history. That's not common. Josh Allen would have been MVP. You give me an MVP type season, I don't need him to keep getting better. Like, I don't need Josh to throw for 8,000 yards and 45,000 touchdowns. I need him to give me the same thing, and I need my defense to be top tier. So I'm with you as far as the defensive. I'm with you.
Right. And I agree. I agree, because I looked up the Bills, because I'm not a huge fan of quarterbacks. And I get a lot of, you know, attitude for that from a lot of people. I hate to say they're overrated, because that's not the right word, but they just get too much credit for team wins. Do you know what I mean? And so they're just not my favorite. But the Bills, I noticed they're ranked 17th, and then I wrote down they're 14th in total, 13th in passing, 17th. If you could get that Bills defense to be 10, it's not far. They do not have to be first. They don't have to be second. You get them to 7 to 10, that changes the whole dynamic of the team. And that's where I think that it's so important. It's going to be the same. And I think that's what the Rams are doing with Matt Stafford. They have that number one defense. Well, number two, Washington, of all people, was number one, Washington football team. But and so you have that defensive piece. You need the offense to be able to compete with that. And Matt Stafford is a step up. So I think that was the logic. They didn't have to go after Trevor Lawrence. They didn't have to go after one of these young wonder kids. They just need to improve, a little bit, which is exactly what the Bills need to do, but on the defensive side of the ball.
Right. Yeah. So I'm with you. Like, when I tell you, I'm with you. And I think balance is the key. And you know, you just said that quarterbacks are overrated, but you said, like, you think they get too much credit for team wins. My man Bruce Nolan would tell you, like, he his thing is that quarterback or wins are not a quarterback stat. And he preaches that to the, you know, and he's right. He's right. It's a team effort. You know, again, Tom Brady has those Super Bowls, but he doesn't have them without that defense that Bill Belichick puts together every year. Absolutely. They rarely have a bad defense.
Right.
Rarely. So,
and they don't always have a top, you know, top five defense, but they don't have to be. It doesn't have to be. And I think that that's the interesting thing that we're running across with a lot of teams right now. You know, Seattle was much the same way. They had the number one offense in football for the first five or six games. Their defense could not. And that's just going to wear, you can't sustain that, you know, to have the worst defense, but the best offense, that's just not going to last. You have to have a little bit of balance. I think that's what the Rams are going for. And I think that's also what San Francisco was looking for a little bit. You know, they have Fred Warner, right? Like, they have these great pieces, and then they have Jimmy Garoppolo. Which is fine. But then they had, you know, they went ahead and they got Trey Lance, and now he's the second coming, but they backed off of that a little bit. And they're like, well, we don't have a quarterback competition, which cracks me up, because one of their players goes, oh, I don't ever even know who's throwing the ball out there. Well, that's a competition. So I don't know what to tell you, you know. But I think San Francisco, they have, because of Shanahan's brilliance, he's a brilliant coach. I think that they have the possibility, if they could also get that quarterback piece figured out, to have that better balance, which is why the NFC West is so intriguing to me.
Yeah, I agree with you about the 49ers for sure. Mm-hmm. And Shanahan, he deserves all the credit in the world. I mean, that guy's incredible. Mm-hmm. Now, I know at the top of the show, I spoke briefly about Deshaun Watson. Mm-hmm. Now, that was the place before the draft I was nervous about Deshaun Watson going.
You as and me both. Player,
it was like, oh my God, that, you know, if you're a fan of the 49ers, that's all you need. Mm-hmm. But
that would have been a nightmare for the rest of the division.
So we'll see if you know, they spent a high draft pick. So let's see if this kid can develop and become, you know, what they think. The thing that's bugging me, and now we can kind of transition to kind of, I guess, like mm-hmm. the meat of the show, the topic. Mm-hmm. The thing that bugs me, though, is like now in draft, you know, and just everything, like not just draft, but even like second year players, first year players. And it's like, OK, if he can make a Josh Allen leap, like now it's becoming mm-hmm. a thing. Whereas when he came into the league, Josh Allen was getting destroyed, you know, Josh Allen can't hit, you know, like it was like they just dogged him. So now, you know, this last year, Josh Allen was the runner up for MVP. He had 4 votes out of the 50. The interesting thing to me, and I wanted to have this conversation with you as somebody who is unbiased and somebody outside looking in, I know you respect, especially now that I know you have a, mm-hmm. a soft spot for the Bills, you know, inside the community, inside the fan base, it's like Josh Allen is like, you know, he's 8-pound, 12-ounce baby Jesus, and there's nothing that he can do wrong. Which, I mean, I feel that. I can't even lie. Like, I'm part of it.
I'm
in love with him. So you know, I get that. But outside looking in, you know, I know that the league respects him now, but somebody like Russell Wilson has been consistently considered a top mm-hmm. 5 quarterback pretty much every year of his career. Mm-hmm. His rookie year was like, well, is he? He broke a record, or he tied a record with Peyton Manning. He was the rookie of the year. Like mm-hmm. like the guy's accolades are insane. Like mm-hmm. the research that I did for the show was just like, I didn't really, like, you know, you know it, but it's like, whoa, okay, yeah. he's legit. He's never had an MVP vote in his mm-hmm. career. Mm-mm. Can you kind of just speak on that for a moment? Just,
yeah,
you know, because that blows my mind.
I think it has a lot to do with, you have to remember who's voting for MVP. You have to understand the reason why they're voting for MVP. And usually, traditionally, MVPs, and I want to say this, because when we were chatting on DM, you put, you know, MVP runner-up, MVP runner-up. And I thought, Josh Allen's not going to want you to call him that, because he doesn't want to be reminded that he was the first person to not get MVP. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. so I find that's funny. But you're right. 4 votes is huge. And I think that was very important. But at the same time, you have to remember that traditionally MVP goes to a quarterback, which bugs me to no end. But it's also a team that is Super Bowl bound. Now, keep that in mind. They are in the championship games, usually, not always. There's always an outlier, right? But so you have to kind of keep that in mind. So to me, it makes total sense that Josh Allen was in that mix with Aaron Rodgers, because they were there. They were almost there. Now, why it was him and not Patrick Mahomes or whatever it may be, I mean, there's a million reasons around it, because they vote, you know, they don't always vote with numbers. They vote with their hearts. Mm-hmm. But you have to think, when Russell Wilson, when he went to 2 back-to-back Super Bowls, it was his 2nd and 3rd year in the league, right? And he had the Legion of Boom defense, okay? Right. Historic defense, never to be redone, right? That is right. Just, they were their own beast, their own world, and it was the golden era of Seattle football for defense. So he was not the most valuable player on his team, okay? So that makes sense, because that's what we're looking at, right? Who is the most valuable player on their team? And then the most out of the whole NFL. So it wasn't him those back-to-back years. After that, I mean, they've been in the playoffs every year but one. They've had a winning record. He has all these fantastic stats. But they have not gotten to that end game, back to the NFC Championship game. And I think if they did, and he didn't have that historic defense, then those votes would come. But at this point, I don't think they have come, just because he hasn't gotten back there yet. And when he was there, he was not the most valuable player on his team.
Right. Right. Yeah. So now the conversation that I wanted to have, which Bills fans are going to have fun with. The thing is, so now when you look at, like, around the league, and you kind of go through the players, like, who's the best quarterback? You know, that conversation is mm-hmm. always had. They always mm-hmm. do it. So I think it's pretty fair to say, like I said, Wilson has consistently been thrown into that top 5 mix, probably yep. after 3rd year. He's yep. pretty much been, you know, looked at there. And the Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady's and Patrick Mahomes – does Josh Allen actually belong there? And if so, the real conversation is, we've seen this one season from Josh. Mm-hmm. Is Josh Allen, you know, in comparison going into this season, are we looking at Josh Allen with Russell? Are we looking at him above, a step above based off of mm-hmm. last season? Are we looking at him a step below? How is it outside looking in?
So I asked around when you told me we were going to talk about this. I asked around because I have my thoughts and I have my opinions, but I wanted to know kind of what other people thought too. So I did ask around. The general consensus, to be real honest with you, is that he's not there yet. And it's because of exactly what you said. It was one season, and it was one season with Stephon Diggs. So when you have that huge of an influx of a weapon, which we were all so jealous that you guys got Stephon Diggs over everybody else, then you have to wait and see. Okay, well, did they feed off of each other? Because Stephon Diggs had an amazing, was like his best season last year too, right? And yep. So he had this huge year. Josh had this huge year. Can they do it again? Was it lightning in a bottle? Was it because it was new? What is it? And I think that that's where you start to see these elite, which I don't like the term, but that's what's used, elite quarterbacks discussed are ones that have done it year after year after year after year. So should Josh Allen be there? I don't know yet. I think that he needs to be consistent. So he has the same numbers next year. That conversation is going to come up. He does it again that third year. There's not a question. There's not a question for anyone at that point. He won't vacillate. Now, how hard will that be for him to do? It's going to be hard, okay? The nice thing about the Bills is you guys have stepped right into that void that was left by the New England Patriots when Tom Brady left. You have a not difficult division, to put it, but Miami came up last year. The Patriots, God knows Belichick could turn it on at any point, right? Mm-hmm. The Jets are... But at the same time, the way you play other teams, every time he has those really good games, that's just going to put another notch. But I do think it needs to be one more season. I did notice The Athletic put him in a tier two level. He was number six. So that means he's just right outside there. And I think just one more year of that consistency will push him right up over the edge.
Yeah, I agree with that. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of times, you know, Bills fans get upset when people question the Stephon Diggs dynamic. I wrote an article last week, and what I said was the argument that Josh Allen's success was exclusive to Stephon Diggs is a baseless argument, but mm-hmm. you can't ignore the fact that he's gotten a ton better with him. Right. But the thing is, the Buffalo Bills, just like the Seattle Seahawks, they've done a great mm-hmm. job of putting good players around him, because mm-hmm. Cole Beasley had a career year with Josh Allen. John Brown had a career year with Josh Allen. So what mm-hmm. we're seeing is that Josh is with better talent around him. He's elevating himself and the people, you know, with better talent. For sure. So, mm-hmm. you know, but like I said, I agree with you that, you know, you can't ignore that when you then get an elite, I know you hate mm-hmm. the word, but when you then get an elite talent, then hopefully yeah. that production becomes elite as well. So, and we saw but that and hopefully... Yeah.
That's what? The point, right? Isn't that the yeah. point? That's why you add these weapons. That's why yeah. you bring these people in. You want them to make the quarterback better. You want him to make the other teams better. You want him to draw people. You want Stephon Diggs to draw a double team so that Cole Beasley can get open, right? Like that's the whole point. And so your front office did exactly what it needed to do to bring the whole team up. It is a team sport. So that's what you want to do. Now, once Josh becomes the obvious leader of this team, which to Bills fans, he already is. And I think that's great. I don't know that perception is out there to the rest of the world yet. It will be after this next season if they do as well. But I think that if he just can do that one more year, they won't be able to say, oh, well, it's just because anymore.
Yeah. And the other thing that I would like your perspective on, being a mm-hmm. Seattle Seahawks fan, you know, first. And actually, you know, you also cover the AFC West. So you have... You know, you have other, you know, loves that, you know, we can speak of from this perspective as well. But from a team that, you know, early on, so you were there when Russ got, when he was drafted, you know, yep. before we went live, you told me like, hey, I've been doing this show, like it was the year before, but I've been doing it longer than he's been playing. So you've been around, you've been through the times where the team wasn't quite that good and then they got good. So they went from being the hunters to the hunted. Mm-hmm. This year, it's the first time that the Buffalo Bills are the hunter. Because last year, I feel like everybody knew, okay, they're going to be a little bit better. Josh probably was taking a step forward. but they punched the league in the mouth. It was different.
Mm-hmm.
This year, people know, oh, the Buffalo Bills are really good. So people are circling the Buffalo Bills on the calendar. Mm-hmm. Can you kind of speak to that and how, you know, because I think as a fan base, we're not used to it yet. So
right.
From experience, you know, what is it like as a fan base now? You're going from the Cinderella story. Last year, everybody loved it. It's like, oh my God, Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. It's the first time since 1993. It's the first time since 1991. It's this, you know, like every record, yeah. Like he's breaking everything that Jim ever did. And then this year, it's like, it's not going to be the same Cinderella love story. So can you kind of speak to your experience?
Yeah, it's weird. I'm going to age myself a little bit here, but I lived through the 90s with the Seahawks. And if anyone knows anything about that, they know Cortez Kennedy, one defensive player of the year on a 2-win team. So let me tell you, it was ugly for a while. And, you know, but the nice thing about that, I also got to watch the Bills during the 90s, which I really liked. But I'm a big Andre Reed fan, not gonna lie.
Yes.
But the thing of it is there is a change when you just keep winning and no one expects it. And, you know, you have your Tom Brady, you know, you mad bro moments because they're not expected. And so if you lose one, the whole world doesn't collapse around you because you weren't really expected to win it anyway. But when you just keep winning, it's a great feeling. And then the light switches and everyone starts paying more attention to your game, you know, tape, and they start paying more attention to when they play you. And they, you know, all of a sudden you're on Sunday Night Football, you know, 5 and 6 times a season, and you have all of this, the eyeballs on you. It changes the dynamic for the fan base because their expectations are now raised. They expect good things from this team. It also changes the pressure on the team and the front office, which you can kind of see through certain focus on, you know, Good Morning Football or whatever. Your team is always on television. Everyone's scrutinizing them with a magnifying glass. And that becomes hard because you become defensive. So Bills fans are going to hear this year, oh, well, Josh Allen, this, or your defense, that. And you'll be like, whoa, 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 whoa. You get real defensive and you can't do it. It's just because people are paying attention. People are finally paying attention.
Dana, I don't know how much you know, and I know you do, but I mean, I don't know how much the listeners really, if it's anybody not part of Bills Mafia listening to this, because Dana's on here with me. Look, the Bills Mafia fan base, we're anything but not emotional. So we're going to react. If somebody comes at Josh Allen, I'm telling you, we find it and we team up. It's like, it's like the Power Rangers when they come together, right. It's on. So.
It's so true. And I get that because you come from these small market teams. I mean, you know, I live in one, I live in Kansas City. And so you know, the Chiefs, oh God, the Chiefs fans are just, they're been out of control the last couple of years. They deserve that. They lived through some bad times too, as Buffalo has too, but you know, and even in Seattle, but you also have to take it with a lens of that's just because people are more focused and that's a good thing for your team. That just means that people are starting to pay attention. And so when you go into this season and let's say you guys win your, I don't know your schedule at all. So I don't know who you're playing, but let's say you win your first three, but then you lose the fourth one. It's not just, oh, we're 3-1. It's, oh my God, what's happening? The whole world's falling apart. The ceiling's caving in. And it's not from the fans, it's from the media. And so you just have to kind of get used to that. But I will tell you this, it is a very good feeling to know that you're on an upward trajectory instead of a downward trajectory. I always say I feel terrible for Green Bay fans this year because they know that Aaron Rodgers won't be there next year and that's a hard thing for them. And so enjoy this upward trajectory because you guys are definitely on your way up.
Yeah, well, I know for me, like I told you before we went live, I'm like, you know, I think this is probably so far already, it's been the best experience for me as a fan. Mm-hmm. And it's partially because of the podcast. It's partially because the team is doing good. But just all in all, you know, you get to meet a lot of people. You get to talk to some people. And life just feels good when your team is doing good. It's amazing.
It is. Yeah.
But you mentioned Kansas City there. So I kind of want to bring up Bills fans have a very, very bad taste in their mouths right now. Like right now.
Don't blame you.
You know, like we just can't stand those guys right now. But, you know, they beat us last year in the AFC Championship. It was not our best outing. Living in Kansas City, what was the experience? I know you're not a fan like that, but, you know, what was the experience like being in that environment, being in that community?
Well, I mean, the last 2 years have been a little nuts around here. And for a lot of reasons, I've lived in Kansas City for 20 years. We left Seattle and we moved here. And so I've been around this fan base when they're really sad and mm-hmm. when they're real happy. And the interesting thing about Chiefs fans is they are just like you guys. They're just like Seattle. They're just like Rams fans. They're just like, you know, all these other teams. The Miami fans, when they thought Tua was going to save the world, you know, they were all just so excited because they have something to be proud of. They have something that they don't have to go, well, I'm a Bills fan, you know, like so many, yeah. you know, people had to do for a lot of years. And so I think that has been, was a lot of fun to watch. What happens when you go to a Super Bowl 2 years in a row is that switches a little bit, just a little bit of cockiness and blame games show up and we didn't win because of this. We didn't win because of that. We have to remember that it's really hard to go to a Super Bowl. It's really much harder to win it. And so I think a lot of people are just grasping the fact around here that they're really excited. I do will want to say, I would love to know where Andy Reid keeps his money tree though. Cause I don't know how they paid all these players, how they brought them all back. I don't get it. Like I'm going to go find this money tree. It's got to be here in Kansas City somewhere because it's insane to me. But I also think that they can't keep it up forever. Yeah. And there will eventually be an opportunity to beat Kansas City, just like there were opportunities to beat New England all those years that they were so good.
Yeah. And I agree with you. It's going to catch up to them. Like I know a lot of times, like we talk about it in the media, like, oh, it's funny money. The salary cap isn't
not real money,
but it is though. You know, they've figured out how to move money around and work things out. It's going to hurt them eventually. Like I promise you, there will be a couple years where it's like, what the heck is Kansas City doing with their roster? And it's because of the moves they made in 2020, 2019 and 2021. So, you know, but it's funny. You mentioned how, you know, after going to the Super Bowl 2 years that, you know, that passion turns into arrogance or it turns into cockiness. I'm going to just tell you the Bills fans, I have to like a lot of, and I did a show and I said one time, like, this is going to be the last time I'm going to be humble. I'm going to tell you because it's been a long time. It's been a very, very long time. So, you know, now, you know, it's been like, you have to be humble when like you don't make the playoffs or you don't, and you can't really go and talk crap to Patriots fans when they've got six Super Bowls or five. So, you know, you can't do it, but look, I'm ready, you know, so I'm one more season. I'll be humble. I promise. I'm going to be nice. But 2022, if we make it back to the AFC Championship or if we make it to the Super Bowl this year, I'm going to just tell you, it's going to be a whole different space.
But I love that because isn't that exciting to think about? You know, it's like, oh, I'll get to be like, you can't beat us. We're Super Bowl champions. Once you wear that crown, it's a hard thing to shake. You know, you're like, yep, that was us. And I 49ers fans, they could beat us probably for the next 2 years, but we'll just keep reminding them how we beat them in the NFC Championship, right? Like, because that's all that really matters at the time. And so that's okay. And that's an exciting place to be as a fan base. And so, you know, you could be the Houston Texans. And so, I mean, it's much better to be where you are right now.
Yeah. And you know what, Houston, I feel bad for Houston.
I do too.
And I feel bad for, you know, all the players who are very good, that really every player, even those who aren't like top guys or whatever. I feel bad when a organization is a laughing stock of the league. And, and I can say that from this point now, hindsight, my team was the laughing stock of the league for a long time. There were guys that didn't want to come to Buffalo through free agency. There were guys that I think, I can't remember who it was. I think Marcel Darius or somebody said, you know, publicly, like, free agents, when he used to try to recruit, said, no, that's like Buffalo, Siberia or something, like, I forget the term, but it just wasn't positive. And now that's how Houston is viewed. And I hate it. My guy Tyrod Taylor's down there. I have like, I absolutely love Andre Roberts, and he's down there. And, you know, so it hurts my feelings. And now obviously the situation that we spoke about earlier with Deshaun, it's just not a good place.
No. And it's just mismanagement. That whole team, I've never been more baffled by a front office in my entire life. Like when they started dumping their players and everyone was leaving, and I was like, do you remember it was just a few years ago? You guys were on top of that division. What happened? And that's, you know, it was just, I mean, it might seem like a long time ago, but Matt Schaub was not that long ago, you know? And so we have to kind of try and remember that. But here's the biggest thing is that it's very sad for the players that are there because they have to put that helmet on. And it's sad for the fan base because they don't want to be that. Whereas you guys are on the other side, you know, Buffalo, you know, Seattle, it used to be the Patriots. It's not so much anymore. Green Bay, there's certain teams that are now destination teams. And the reason that they're destination teams is because they give these guys who maybe are in the middle of their career, even in the back half of their career, but still have a lot of fire and a lot of good play in them, can go with the opportunity to possibly get a ring. And that's a good feeling too, when you know that bets or players in general, even your draftees, are so excited to be drafted to Buffalo.
I'm excited that Buffalo has completely changed the culture. That is one mm-hmm. of the things. So the last thing, you know, so you brought up with the culture, because mm-hmm. what I was going to bring up with the Texans, the coaching hire. So Buffalo actually had a coach, our defensive coordinator, Leslie Frazier, was actually in consideration for the head coaching position in Houston. They decided not to go with mm-hmm. him. I'm happy about that, but it's a head scratcher again with the culture. They didn't get a guy that you're at the time before any off-field stuff happened. They didn't get the guy your star quarterback wanted. They didn't mm-hmm. get the guy that other players could relate to, you know, and then, so now fast forward, we're talking about the Buffalo Bills now, you know, like Sean McDermott came in and absolutely changed the culture. You know, mm-hmm. we had Rex Ryan prior to that. And I mean, come on, we know what Rex is. And I'll tell you what, I'm very, very happy that we got rid of Rex so mm-hmm. quickly and Sean McDermott has come in. Can you kind of speak to that? There's mm-hmm. there's two sides of it for Seattle. There's a part mm-hmm. of the NFL fan base that really views the head coach out there as like not a good coach, but there's a lot of them that like Pete Carroll is the best thing since sliced bread. How mm-hmm. do you view Pete Carroll and you know, where does he fall on that list for you?
So what you guys did with your current head coach, Seattle did with Pete Carroll back in 2009-10, that beginning of that season, then 1500 roster changes, like boom, out of there, right? Like they completely mm-hmm. changed that over. So you guys being an example, Sean McVay being an example for the Rams, you know, and getting him in there. Seattle, there's teams that it shows you can turn an entire team around in a year. So hopefully that's encouraging to some of these other, you know, teams that or fan bases, I should say, that are lagging behind right now. But Pete Carroll specifically, I understand why people don't always love him. I know he had his whole USC thing. I'm not a huge college ball fan, so I just whatever on that. But I know that his style of coaching is not traditional. It's not exactly what, you know, people are doing, but it works for him. And obviously, having never had a losing record with the Seahawks, it's working for him, to, you know, working for them too. I like Pete Carroll. I like that he is who he is and he doesn't apologize for it. And, you know, some players dig it, some players don't. You're in, you're not, you're out, sort of a thing. And I'm okay with that. I think where a lot of the credit for what Seattle's success has had lately does lie with Pete, but it also lies with John Snyder, the general manager, because he came over and he was like, this is how we are going to do things. I am going to be aggressive here, not aggressive there. He's had a lot of misses in the draft. He's not the best director, but free agents are his specialty. And so that's been very important. And I think that too, again, keep a team young, keep them rolling. That kind of culture fits there. The Buffalo culture fits with those players, and that's finding the key. When you see those teams that just have a rotating door of people coming in and out and not staying, that means they haven't found who they are. They haven't found what works for them, because if they did, they would find those players that worked within that system. And so am I a Pete Carroll fan? Yeah, I like Pete Carroll. Am I a John Snyder fan? Definitely a John Snyder fan. Do I think Pete will be around for much longer? I think Pete will retire in probably 2 years, and that will be an interesting day for Seahawks fans. We'll see how that goes. But at the same time, I understand why he's not everyone's favorite.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I probably like him for the wrong reasons, if I'm being honest. I love his personality. I think mm-hmm. that, you know, the connection that he has to the players, like, you know, it reminds me a lot of how the Buffalo Bills love Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott. Like, mm-hmm. you know, Tre'Davious White will joke with Brandon Bean and like he calls him Big Baller Bean, and they laugh and joke. And so, you know, when I look at how Pete Carroll, you know, Russell Wilson dressing up as him for Halloween and chewing gum, like just making fun of him. And it's lighthearted and fun. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, he produces a winning product every year. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Russell Wilson has a very, very, a very impressive record as a starter. I think where was it? It was like 95 or 98. Yeah. 98-45-1 as a starter. You know, you can't ask for better, you know, it's like,
right?
So it's like consistently for a decade now, close to a decade, mm-hmm. you've had just great success. So I don't understand how, and whether you want to say it's the quarterback, whether you want to say it's the defense, whatever, the coach drafted him. The coach is the, you know, they developed him. So I like Pete Carroll. So like I said, it could be for the wrong reasons, but I do not understand when people, you know, just, I don't get it.
Yeah. And you know, it doesn't, that's just, some people would really, really like Bill Belichick's style of coaching, you know, the super serious, no fun. I mean, we've seen how different Tom Brady's been since he left there. Oh, I mean, I mean, it's like night and day, right? And so, and like, I love Mike Tomlin, but he's also super serious, super deep guy. And so that's what people, you know, like from football. The thing with Seattle, and I don't know what it is about Buffalo, but Buffalo will have its thing. But the thing with Seattle is they're very entertaining. The whole team, like, they're corny and goofy. And yes, I don't know if you guys remember, you guys aren't Seahawks fans, but Russell Wilson's first year, Mike Robinson did a whole entire TV series called The Real Mike Rob Report. And all he did was talk about how Russell Wilson was a robot. And it was hilarious. And like, it was just like super fun and lighthearted. And some people will take that as not taking the game seriously enough. Some people say, oh no, that just is, means that they're enjoying their job and they're winning. And so I just think it depends on what your preference is in your team. My preference is they win, and I like that.
Yeah, yeah. That's and I think that's where Buffalo fans are getting that, you know what, hey, it's fun to watch Josh put up these points, but it's also a whole heck of a lot of fun to come out on top a lot, like consistently. Mm-hmm. We went 13-3 last year. I think we're gonna have another good year. I don't know if we're gonna have the same exact type of success, but I think we're gonna be very successful. I think we're gonna be big. So before we get out of here, why don't you give us your prediction for the Seahawks, and then kind of give us a quick off the cuff prediction for the Buffalo Bills for the season here. And then I'll give the floor to you to let everybody know where they can find your content.
I think the NFC West is going to beat the crud out of each other this year. I really think that's going to be super hard. I think they'll probably best the Cardinals, although we always struggle with the Cardinals a couple of times. I just think that they're going to have a hard time back. And I'm having a hard time with the math. Are you having a hard time now that we have to count to 17 instead of 16? Yes. It drives me crazy. But I think the Seahawks will win double-digit numbers again. I think they'll make the playoffs again. I don't have any reason to think otherwise at this point. I think that they'll probably have at least like maybe 11 or 12 wins. Their schedule is middle of the road. It's not that tough this year. And so that's really good too. But again, you never know. Injuries, everything looks shiny on paper until someone, you know, breaks their leg. So we just have to kind of roll with that a little bit. For Buffalo, I'm going to have to ask you, what is your schedule like this year? I mean, are you guys running into some serious little slobber knockers, or what's going to happen with them?
Well, they're saying that our schedule is on paper. They're saying it's easier than last year. And
Run
through it. The thing is, I think I have an issue with that because, so for instance, I think if you look at Washington as of last year, or, you know, I think, yeah, it looks like an easy schedule, but the team that they put together that's going to be on the field this year is not last year's team. And there's a couple teams like that I think have improved, not enough that I think that they're going to just destroy. I'm not saying the Bills are going to get destroyed, you know, but what I'm saying is they're not cakewalks. Like Washington could very easily be one of those teams that walk in and they might take one from us if we're not careful. So the schedule's a little bit easier, but again, they say that it's supposed to
you
be.
You never know, right? Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised to see Buffalo go very deep into the playoffs again. I think that's kind of the assumption at this point. And the playoffs, once you get past the wild card round, really are their own little beast, because it really just kind of depends on the moment and what you know, who catches that perfect little pass, or what weather you're playing. If you're playing Green Bay, you know, that sort of thing. So, but I wouldn't be surprised. In fact, it would surprise me if Buffalo didn't go well deep into the playoffs again this year. I can't think of too many other AFC teams that I would put above them at this point.
Well, Bills fans are going to love that. I love it. So, Dana, thank you so much for doing this. I've had a blast with you. We got to do this during the season. I know this year,
I'd love that.
Bills don't play you, but obviously I'm in Arizona and the Cardinals do twice. So I'll definitely try to link with you, and we'll have to do this again during the season. Why don't you let everybody know where they can find your content and your podcast, and or you on social? Just take your time.
Yeah. So on Twitter, I'm at Dana OG. So it's DaynaOG. And again, I cover NFC and AFC West. So you get a kind of a lot of a mix from me. The Hour Turf Football Podcast is every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. And we do that live. And we talk about all aspects of football, NFL. We don't just cover just a couple of divisions. We have them all. And then the Tuesday before the season starts is our annual Pick'em show. It's our huge show. We literally pick every division and say who's going to be the Super Bowl. Like, we go through the whole thing. It's a lot of fun. And then OurTurfFootballFB.com. Or I'm sorry, OurTurfFB.com is our website. We have just kicked off writing our articles. We kind of take it easy during the off season, and so we're back in with our articles there. So yeah, come hang out with us. We'd love it. And I would love to come back. This has been a blast.
Everybody, please, please, please go on Twitter and follow Miss Dana. Are you on any other social networks as well?
For football, that's all I do is on Twitter, we do have our own YouTube channel for Our Turf. So,
okay, perfect. Well, for those watching live on YouTube, you can see her handle right there on the screen. For those that are not, I will make sure I have it in the description for the show. Listen, y'all know how I do it over here, everybody. It's your boy Jay Spence the King, and y'all got to take care of each other, love each other, and live in peace. And as always, stay positive, test negative, go Bills.